Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Coming up on show 878, the story of Tesla, the FBI, and a $1 million hack. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus, Lucid teasing a possible world record quarter mile time. How you can get yourself a nearly new BMW i3 from the police department, and Amazon ordering almost 2,000 electric vans from Mercedes. Those stories and many more coming up on the podcast today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, edition for what happened on Friday, 28th of August. Martin Lee here, going through every EV story so you don't have to. What an incredible story then. Earlier this week, we heard the FBI arrested a 27-year-old Russian citizen for attempting to carry out a ransomware attack against a US company. And it turns out, according to Elon Musk, who just confirmed that on Twitter, that company was Tesla, says the website Autoblog, Igor was his name, and he travelled to the US and contacted a Russian-speaking, non-US citizen who is a Tesla employee. Now, they work at Gigafactory in Sparks, Nevada. After meeting with that individual and socialising with that person, our friend Igor here proposed a deal. He said, if you deliver some malware to the computer systems at Tesla, we'll give you $1 million. He and his associates allegedly plan to extract data from the network and threaten to make it public if Tesla didn't pay a ransom. Very common with big tech companies. It's happened, well, it happened with a cruise line recently, didn't it? And it happened with other companies where they get hacked the computers. Sometimes it's they lock the computers, and increasingly big companies are trying to keep it quiet and just paying the ransom, which can be... There was one recently, $4.5 million earlier this year. The company went public and announced, I think they're probably a publicly traded company, so they had to make it public, that they just went ahead and paid the amount. So this doesn't look like somebody using Tesla's kind of back-end systems for nefarious means in terms of getting control of cars and things like that. More just ransomware. Just, we have control of your data. Maybe not even we're controlling your computers. Just, we have all the data and we'll release it all unless you pay us some money. That never happened because the employee of Tesla immediately informed the company and they called in the FBI, and then a whole sting was done as this Russian... Our friend Igor, who we're talking about here, was trying to leave the company in Los Angeles and was intercepted in a sting. So again, it relies on the honesty and the integrity of Tesla's employees. This person didn't take the money, but didn't that happen with, I'm not saying that happened, but wasn't the, you know, the big Twitter hack that was maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks ago now, Elon was hacked and many of the blue-ticked celebrities on, famous politicians on Twitter were hacked with like a, supposedly a Bitcoin scam. I always wondered whether that Bitcoin, the tweet that was about, send money to me and I'll double it, which is apparently some people even fell for it, which I'm amazed, because if you're smart enough to own Bitcoin and know about crypto, you're not going to do it. But anyway, I always wonder whether that was a smokescreen for something else. But it turns out that that was somebody getting access to a console within the back end of Twitter that only, you know, well, not a handful, but certainly that is a restricted console. It's where you can delete an entire account. You can see people's DMs. I mean, it's basically everything about Twitter accounts and these hackers got access to that. So I wonder if it was a similar kind of thing with Tesla, where they were going to pay $1 million to this one person that then put the software into the network, which went away and did its whatever its hacking software does. I understand it. However, didn't get to that stage. Elon tweeting this week that it was a very, very serious case, calling in the FBI and thwarting it. You know, one day when they make the movie of Elon, or one day when they make the movie, because they've made the Facebook movie, which was largely terrible, when they make the Tesla movie and Hollywood gets its hands on Elon and Tesla, you know, this is going to be a big part of it, surely. It's going to be a storyline. It's because it's just so Hollywood, isn't it? Calling in FBI to thwart a million-dollar hack. Anyway, I'll pop a link to Autoblog in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Okay, let's move on. And next, let's talk about Lucid. Released a teaser for their first sedan. It's called the Lucid Air, indicating that it may have set a new electric vehicle world record before the unveiling on September the 9th. According to Joey at Teslarati, the video they posted didn't reveal a specific time doing the quarter mile, but the video did show a quickly ticking timer going down. And a bit like the other teaser they put out, which was their nought to, it was the mileage, wasn't it, on that one. However, the time stops at 10.48 seconds before it fades away. Doubtful that it'll do the quarter mile in 10.48. They wouldn't have just given away their number, so it'll be less than that. Like, you know, the Lucid Air's mileage is 517, but the teaser video, the number that was counting up, faded out at about 441 miles. So a long way off. So we wonder. The current world record for the quarter mile in an electric car is the Tesla, or electric sedan, is the Model S. You won't be surprised to hear. Did the drag strip in 10.452 back in May earlier this year. Ludicrous mode and cheetah stance enabled to record that time. Here's a thought. The unveiling date of Lucid has been chosen for the 9th of the 9th, what do you reckon about a quarter mile time of 9.9 something seconds? Or am I getting my conspiracy theories far too worked up there? I'll pop a link to Teslarati in the show notes if you would like to read more. How do you fancy getting yourself a BMW i3 that doesn't have too many miles on? BMW won a bid with the Los Angeles Police Department. LAPD wanted 100 BMW i3s every year for 3 years, starting in 2016. They were the small battery, 22 kilowatt hour battery packs. They had standard 19-inch wheels, according to Inside EVs. Los Angeles reported that the i3s weren't that used by the LAPD. Some of them had just several hundred miles, according to CBS Los Angeles. That's terrible. And of course, anything like this where a public department has spent a lot of money, of course it made the news. If LAPD had only a few of these vehicles, it probably wouldn't have made the news, but they've got so hundreds of them, and some of them aren't being used. They've largely been gathering dust, and now you can buy one. New Century BMW is the dealer that handled the leases initially. They're now selling them on as CPO, so certified pre-owned models, and some of them only 15 grand. So, of course, because they're CPO cars, you get the BMW warranty for the battery that you wouldn't get if you bought it privately off somebody, but it doesn't transfer. But as long as you buy a BMW CPO, and you get it from a dealer, and it's an official car, then, or it's official certified pre-owned, you do get the warranty transferred to you. And so, the only worry is maybe they've been sitting for prolonged periods of time, not being used too much, but heck, I mean, for 15 grand, you get a car that's under warranty for, what, a couple more years? There's very little risk there. I'll pop a link to Inside EVs in the show notes if you'd like to read more about that story. Okay. Let's talk about Amazon ordering more than 1,800 electric transporters from Mercedes-Benz vans. The order includes 600 eVTOLs, 1,200 eSprinters, and Amazon wanting deliveries by the end of the year. This is the largest order to date of EVs for the Mercedes vans from Amazon, according to Electrive. The internet retailer is expecting 10,000 delivery vans a year from Rivian from 2022. It was 100,000 by the end of 2030. So, I mean, roughly just over 10,000 of those every single year. And in Europe, Amazon has relied on the established makers rather than doing a deal like they did with Rivian, which is a new startup. So Mercedes, for instance, the story here. In Munich, they're using street scooters and Mercedes-Benz eVitos. And Amazon recently added 340 charging stations to their facilities. They already have 150 electric delivery vehicles every day in Germany, in Essen, with Mercedes. And somebody on Twitter only recently tagged me in a post of theirs on Twitter to say that they'd seen Amazon delivering some parcels in their area, which is brilliant, in a pure electric van. Fantastic. Congratulations. Thank you very much. For anyone that ever wants to tag me in a Twitter post on EV News Daily. His name is Aaron Cocker and says, just spotted an electric Amazon delivery van making the rounds in Bristol. They're using an LDV EV80. I love it. Bring it on. We get an Amazon delivery almost every day. We are fully signed up to the whole ecosystem. We've got the speaking devices, of which I shan't say her name in case I set yours off, in just about every room. We're Prime customers. We watch the telly. The kids' stuff is good. Now we've got a little one. We can put cartoons on and, you know, just distract during food times. Not so the whole Amazon thing for us, like the Prime delivery, just works really well. The only sour taste when it turns up in some beat-up old diesel transit van. They're not Amazon-branded vans. I think they're just freelancers or contractors they use in different parts of the world. But I just think, oh, I can't wait for that to be an all-electric van. Fingers crossed it happens sooner rather than later. So, from delivery vans to very fast cars. And next, we are talking about Rimac. Rimac Automobili has welcomed a very special customer, a Formula One world champion. World champion Nico Rosberg just joined the team of owners of the Rimac C_2. Turned up in Croatia to the factory to customise his order of his C2 and also test an advanced prototype as well. Nico, since he retired from... You've got to respect Nico Rosberg. He won the world championship and did what nobody expected and said, I've got a family, I'm a dad with young children, and I'm stopping. So he achieved his lifetime ambition, Formula One world champion, and that's my lot, thank you very much. And huge respect to him for wanting to get on and do different things with his life. One of the things he went to afterwards was starting a podcast and a YouTube channel, and it's all about electric vehicles and testing them and interviewing people about them. So I'm not surprised that, you know, he's got a few bob and that he's put an order in for the all-electric Rimac C2. Ordered his car in 2019, and there's a video online with Mate Rimac, the founder and CEO of Nico, visiting Croatia. He gets his car in 2021 with the other 150 cars are being made. They're, just to recap, if you aren't aware of the C2, a rather crazy bonkers car. There are four motors on each wheel, obviously. So four liquid-cooled permanent magnet synchronous electric motors, one on each wheel. The range is 400 miles. The top speed is 258 miles an hour. 0 to 60 is 1.85 seconds with a one-foot rollout, which is standard. 1.85 seconds, 0 to 60. I mean, holy moly, you've got to be a Formula One driver not to crash it the first time you drive it. I wonder how many of them will end up in a hedge. We'll wait and see when talent runs out quicker than the car can go. So I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you want to read a little bit more about it. Hey, let's talk VW. The first 700 VW ID3s just landed. Well, not really landed. They're on a boat. Roll-on, roll-off ferry. In Norway, Volkswagen confirming the first 700 of them in Norway as deliveries of a really important, maybe one of the most important vehicles in the history of Volkswagen, are about to start next month in September. Now, the ID3 is a curious one. They've been making the cars since last November, but you haven't been able to get one if you're a customer because they hadn't finished the software And in fact, it's still not finished. The people getting the car first movers, I think they call you, to try and flatter you a little bit, to say, hey, you're a pioneer. Sorry, it's not quite ready. In fairness, the things that aren't ready are things like the head-up display. I mean, whoopee, big deal. I'd have a car. It's going to come in the next couple of months anyway when they update it with new software. But anyway, the result is they plan to start deliveries of these first mover cars next month. According to Electrek, who spotted the tweet, as I did, by Jürgen Stackmann, put a video online. He's VW's head of marketing, and he confirmed that the 700 cars had arrived in Norway, heading to dealers for the September deliveries. I'll pop a link to Electrek in the show notes for you to read more and see the video. So, I love a good bus. Love a good electric bus story. In Panama, they just cancelled... Don't worry, this isn't a negative story. They just cancelled their big order for diesel buses, and they reordered 200 electric ones instead. They're called MyBus, M-I-B-U-S. I think I'd say it, MyBus. Decided to cancel 160 diesel buses they were going to be getting from BYD, and instead put the money, $35 million, into a couple of hundred medium-sized electric buses. Going to be used in Panama City, says Cleantechnica. The manager of the company explained the year-long trial period they did recently demonstrated the value of the regen braking, and the bus air conditioning systems were very useful as well, capable of managing the hot and humid environments of Panama. And so they decided to cancel their dirty diesels and replace them with clean green electric buses, almost a couple hundred of those on the streets. Right, final story. This is a long read for your weekend. I highly, highly recommend this website. Electric that is generated from wind and solar is now up to 50% cheaper than was previously thought and previously admitted. According to a new document published today by the UK government. And this is interesting. Like, if you're listening to this and you're new to the podcast and thinking, why is he talking about solar panels and wind turbines? Well, of course, with EVs, we love our cars, but we always want to know where that electricity is coming from, because grids around the world largely are cleaning up. Less fossil fuels are being used. And sure, there are outliers. Sure, there are the countries like Poland that the grid is pretty dirty and it's coal-powered. US is pretty behind as well. Many countries, some of the Nordic countries that rely on hydro, 100% green. And so the cleaner the electricity, the cleaner every mile. Now, as grids get better every year, of course, our cars get cleaner every year. And that is the case in the UK. This is why we're talking about this story, because the new estimates of the cost of electricity, they call it the levelized cost of electricity, I think, but I won't go into too much detail because this is a brilliant article. But a new document published by the British government show that renewables are in fact much cheaper to install and to generate electricity than they'd previously reported on, says Simon Evans. Follow him on Twitter. Read the article. It's all rather good. This new report is the government's first public admission of the dramatic reductions in renewable costs in recent years. Back in 2013, they looked into their crystal ball, and our government said that by 2025, generating electricity from a wind farm would cost you £140 for a megawatt hour. Well, 3 years later, they went, actually, it's only going to be £107 per megawatt hour. And then they just had to revise their figures and go, yeah, we got it completely wrong. It's now £57 per megawatt hour. A 47% reduction based on 2016 revised numbers. The new estimates include dramatic reductions for onshore wind and solar. The levelized costs by 2025 are going to be 50% cheaper than previously admitted. They now expect the offshore wind to become cheaper than onshore wind by the 2030s because you can make much, much bigger turbines, and that helps for consistency in lower wind speeds. And these turbines are going to reach 20 megawatts, up from 9 megawatts today. I'm always a big fan of onshore wind because it seems crazy to take these things out to sea, but there are benefits to both. So the people that don't like to look at wind turbines on a hill near them, which I love the look of, but I get the NIMBYs, not in my backyard. I understand it. I don't agree with it, but some people don't find them very attractive. I do. But the offshore one, but even then, the offshore ones They're so huge now and generating electricity so much cheaper than was previously admitted. As for nuclear, it kind of gets brushed over in this report. The government simply say that they hope the cost will come down. I think you got very little hope of nuclear getting cheaper. It'll just get more and more and more expensive and more delayed, as we see in these places all around the world. So it's a long read. It's if you're interested in energy, highly recommend this article and have a look in the show notes for the link. That's your show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Email me anytime. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email address, and you can leave a comment on the YouTube show, and we can have a chat in the comments. There are 877 previous shows in the archive. That archive is online. Thank you to every single patron of this show. Patreon is a website that you can support creators, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. You don't have to, but if you want to, have a look. I invite you to have a look at Patreon because it's the only way this show gets on the air. Phil Roberts is our premium partner from Electric Future, who we say thank you to every day. And you, Brad Crosby. Avid Technology here in the UK, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, and Derek Riley with his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Hello to David and Lisa. David and Lisa Allen listen to the podcast. Also, OEM Audio of New Zealand and evpower.co.nz if you are indeed in New Zealand and you want your accessories, check them out. Gareth Hamer, long-time supporter. E-Mobility Norway, looking forward to getting them on the podcast soon now that post-COVID we get back to normal. And Bob Boothby, also getting back to normal at Millbrook Cottages, an elopement wedding venue. And Darren McCleskey, all partners of the show. And a quick mention for all of my exec producers: Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Asir Khalid, Ashley Hill, Biard Fuchstack, Brent Kingsford, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Colin Hennessy, and Cam ZV, Craig Coles, Hiccup, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Darren Fetch, Dave Jewson, David Finch, David Moore, David Partington, David Prescott, and Don McAllister. Screencastsonline.com is its website. Eru, Kionia Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Gilberto Rosado, Jeff Lowe, Headley Wright, Ian Griffiths, Ian Sear, Ian Watkins, who is Watty, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jim Morris, John, who is Beardy McBeardface, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Marison, and Carl Mann. Last Allager, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Mark Bossett, Marty Young, Matt Piscioni, Mia Oppelstrup, Michael Pastrani, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Nigel Miles, I had Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts at Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Rajiv Narayan, Rene Kimmick, Rene Schneider, Richard Lupinski, Rob Hermans, Rob from the RS Thinks EV YouTube channel, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas JTS, Todd Oakes, the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel, Tim Gutteridge and William Langhorn. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.